But look how good my skin was when I was like not dead and well rested. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh. I was like, why is this in front of me? I just put it over here because I put mine over here.
Oh. Well, Sabrina, thank you for being a guest again.
Thank you. I'm a fan favorite, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, fan favorite. And I am also your guest because I'm in your apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both guests of each other right now. We have tea this time.
Yeah, what is the flavor of this again?
This is apple hibiscus tea.
I was like, it tastes something sweet and I can't figure out what it is. That's the apple.
Yeah, okay. So the apple will probably give it some fruitiness and some sweetness. And then hibiscus tends to be like a more tart tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it should be pretty yummy. I haven't had this before either.
No, I like it. There was something a little sweet that I couldn't figure out what that was, but that's definitely the apple. Now that I heard apple, I'm like, yep, that's what I would expect.
Yeah, so... Last we left off, mm-hmm. you had shared with us that like the supplier getting that there's a specific ingredient that you needed, and being a new business, you were probably relatively low on your supplier's list of people to please.
Yeah.
And it was like still dealing with a little bit of like pandemic shortages, mm-hmm. And like supply chain stuff. So it was a little like, I think they were saying about a month out, but also mm-hmm. at the time could have easily turned into 2 or 3 months all of a sudden.
Yeah, because when did we connected in, was it March or February? I want to say it was February.
I'm going to have to double check my notes.
Yeah, I feel like it was like early winter-ish. It wasn't like officially spring. So yeah, that 1 month was definitely not 1 month. I can tell you that.
Okay, what ended up happening?
So I think, again, it's like it was totally out of my hands and also my supplier's hands because the ingredient needed to be sourced from out of the country, I believe, or out of the region. So it just took a little bit longer than expected. And then depending on when my quote unquote run would be, that also kind of delayed stuff. I was able to get some samples, but I kind of like kept consistently pushing the team of like, okay, how can we make sure that I'm like picking up my stock like Memorial Day weekend, before Memorial Day weekend? Like, how are we making sure that I can come during like the product production timing so I can capture behind the scene content?
Yeah.
All of these things, because I really like my initial plan was really to launch early June. We're like, what, June 10th?
Yeah.
I have not launched, so it's fine. I've pivoted. So there were just so many like little delays, and it's not a big deal. I think I've kind of accepted it after maybe 2 or 3 cry sessions and like moments of like, am I doing the right thing? What's going on here? But...
Ooh.
just slammed my new product in front of you.
Yeah.
But it's ready. I am picking her up, all of them, next Thursday.
Yeah. So tell me like the name and and like where it comes from and everything.
Yes, of course. So I think last time I didn't release the name, the information. I kind of talked about the product itself. I was not stingy. It was more of brand excitement. I was building the brand excitement the interest. But the brand is called Tumizi. It is spelt T-U-M as in Mary, I-Z-I. It's derived from the Swahili word tumia, which means to use. And funny enough, I don't really know of any brands that have kind of like done this as much. But I developed the product and the product positioning and like how I wanted to sell it, how I wanted to present it, the purpose of it, the type of ingredients, the like all the marketing around it. And the last thing for me, obviously before like production, et cetera, was to think of the name. Like it just came so natural to me because it aligned with one, the purpose of the brand is that I could not find something quick and easy, efficient to use when I was taking walks with my family during COVID. And I was always chafing. It was really annoying. A lot of my girlfriends and guy friends, et cetera, were just like facing the same issue. And the solutions that were present were either, and this is like in 2020, were either you put powder, you put Vaseline, you put deodorant, that it, most people that use deodorant don't really use natural. Like, obviously, that's growing and that's exciting. I'm not going to be on that bandwagon because your girl gets a little musty and it is what it is. So I need that aluminum, you know? Mm-hmm. But that aluminum also darkens pigmentation. So I'm not trying to darken my thighs. So I had to stop using that on deodorant on my thighs. not ashamed, because it was not even ashamed to say that, because I know many people and many women and men that are still doing that and talked, like, I, as I was doing my own market research, like, I realized people were doing these practices, like, that just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And at that time, there were like very limited sources of items that you could find in the market. Yeah. It's so exciting to see like how that's kind of changed and pivoted now. We'll see what that looks like in the next like 3 years.
You mean there are other like thigh balms out there?
Yeah. So there are other products that help with chafing, which is really exciting. Some from like really well-known, credible brands, skincare brands that have launched in the last year, I would say, because that's when I first like heard of them. Some brands that have been around for like 5 years that I know of, and then a few different brands that have looked at how to do it instead of just like a formula. So maybe it's like pads, or maybe it is some type of cloth material, or I don't know if the right word is like stickers that you would put on your thigh to help prevent it. But maybe there's
like a
been
patch or something.
Yeah, like a patch, yeah. But there's been, because I think I saw, I'm spacing out on the name, but they went on Shark Tank for it. So that was really cool to see, because I was like, holy shit, people are doing things about this. And that's, I think that should show that there is a market need for this product. And I came at it at a point where it was like, I was having the problem.
Yeah.
I'm like, how in the world can I solve this?
Because which is like a very like common source of like entrepreneur beginnings.
Exactly.
Like, I had this problem. The market didn't have the solution for it. I got tired of waiting around for somebody to do it. I took care of it.
Yep. And I've loved it. It's been really fun like creating it. I am in aesthetic school, as you know. So I've gotten some samples to instructors, some samples to classmates. I previously had given samples to like friends and family to test out. I feel like Tumizia, like the thigh bomb itself, that's the product name, has really traveled globally at this point. So it's been exciting to hear like the feedback, and I'm looking forward to really just understanding like what potential other feedback I can get from the general public.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that initial feedback did go into making like the current iteration that it's at right now.
Yeah. Can I ask, like, what makes you, like, continue with Tumizi and knowing that there are other competitors out there? Like, it was a year and a half ago, like, there were no competitors. Yeah. It was, like, wide open. Like, logically, people have this problem. I want to solve this problem. There's no competitors. Yeah. But now you have, like, you know that they're out there. They're already have a product out, and you're at the just about to launch, like formally launch phase. Yeah. What was your consideration in terms of like, I'm going to keep going, or I'm going to dust my hands off and just like call it a wash for now?
Yeah, I think that's that. Internally, the way I'm thinking about it is I looked at it in multiple different ways. First and foremost, like, I believe in this product. I went through so much to test this product, go through different, I think we went through like 7 different iterations, and this was like months of testing it, which is why it took so long to finally like say yes and give the stamp of approval on this formula iteration. So I guess the biggest part is I believe in the product. I believe in its usage. I wore it today. I used it yesterday at work at my new job that I just got. Yeah. I utilized it and have given it to like people that I know and trust would give me actual feedback and wouldn't try to set me up for failure. And they loved it. They were able to share with me some of the hurdles and the issues that they've had due to chafing. And the fact that this has really helped alleviate that is like exciting to hear as someone who, like, I guess I can say like I'm a quote unquote brand founder, but I don't know if I'd officially want to say that out loud until like it's actually launched into the market.
Yeah.
Even though, like, yes, I'm founding a brand now, but like it has not been, you know, like it's not in the market yet. But for someone that's a potential brand founder, like once my product's launched, it's exciting to know that first and foremost, like I literally believe in my product. Yeah. Like I can have anyone wear it, feel confident about it, know that I utilize it. Like I'm the biggest fan of this brand, not just from, oh, I made it, but like, wow, this product is great. It works. I love like, how easy it is
like,
to use.
Because you can like have... You can have somebody make lotion and then like put some like scents in there, whatever, slap your own branding, whatever you want on it. And it like, if you're good at it, it could probably take a very short amount of time, but there's no like special consideration or special like purpose, but you're really putting a lot of like research, testing and like consideration from top down. Like it feels like you've got.
And I think that actually kind of goes into another reason why I wanted to still keep going at this, because I did reflect in like, I want to say 2021 going into 2022, like, is this the right decision? Do I want to even do this? Like, am I wasting my time? And I think something that really came back to me was at the end of the day, like there are probably like 100+, if not 100,000+ candle businesses. There are 100+ cosmetic color businesses. There are 100+ skincare businesses. That hadn't deterred them, and maybe I'm just imagining this, to launch in a market that's, I would say those markets are very highly penetrated in terms of the assortment ranges and the same product just coming from different brands. However, I don't agree with that statement in a way, because it's like, it's really not the same product. It's like, a retinol is not just a retinol. Like what's behind it, not from just like a brand story, but like the key ingredient, because my skin type might be different from your skin type. And I created a retinol because I needed a retinol to deal with my skin condition. And someone else was like, you know what? That didn't work for me. So I'm going to create one that worked for me. So I truly do believe that there is a set, like a segment in terms of like the consumer segment that they may not resonate with what's currently in the market, especially knowing this segment of the market is so small still.
It's new.
It's newer. It's exciting. There's definitely some of those I would refer to as like the OG brand that like has been known for this.
But they can still brands, fuck it up. They can still.
No, but they can. They market in a very niche space, but they also were created with the brand founder or the creator, et cetera, with something in mind, right? They wanted to solve a certain issue. So they made it and it met their needs. I've tested things that have been in the market. They didn't meet my needs. I didn't like what was out there. And this met mine.
Yeah. Can I ask, like, what was like emotionally for you realizing like, oh, like yesterday, no competitors. Today, I've like found two or three or whatever it was.
Oh my God, it was wild. Because when I started doing market research in 2020, there was maybe three brands that I could find.
Oh, one so you were new at the when you
started. Because I tested them all. Like I looked, I work in beauty. So at that point, I was like, here's my problem. I'm going to go searching for a product that can solve this, right? Like that was kind of step one. I bought the products that said they could solve this. I tried them out. They threw off, they either threw off my pH, they either didn't work as efficiently as I needed, or they had some type of fragrance thing that I just like didn't like. The ingredients didn't make sense to, in terms of like what I was looking for. So that's when I was like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to make it. Like I'm going to make one that like meets all the requirements I want, and let's see if something can even come out of this.
Got it. I see. I see. In terms of like product development and like testing, what does that look like? Because like, I guess I'm coming from a just like nuts and bolts. Like you're not just taking a product that some large manufacturer already makes. You're like really trying to put like some kind of new ingredient into it, some new or multiple ingredients. And you have like an intended effect that you're trying to achieve. Like what did that entail?
So I went to my manufacturer and I was like, here's what's currently in the market. Here's what I need it to do. Here's how these ones are currently not meeting my needs. And that's where we started off the conversation, because I didn't know like every single ingredient on the ingredient list, obviously, for these products. And the things that I could find, I was like, okay, I know that I like coconut because that's super moisturizing for me. I know that that's something that I want to figure out, like, is it going to clog pores? Is that going to be an issue for consumer? Is that, like, do I want something that's super slippery? Or do I want something that's going to be very hydrating? Do I want a fragrance in there to smell good? But wait a minute, I saw one that had fragrance and I avoided that because of that reason. Yeah. So why would I want to do that? Do I want stuff that has potential synthetic material ingredients in it? Oh, wait, but is synthetic always bad? Like, what does that mean? So I guess in terms of a product development perspective, I started it with really thinking about looking at what was in the market that I'd already tried, why it did not meet my like what I needed and my level of standards, and looking, starting that conversation of like, here's what I needed these to do and they didn't do it. What were they missing? Yeah. Like, I'm just curious. Like, I want to understand what were they missing? Because I want to make something that fits these needs, X, Y, Z. So how can we get there? And in a typical beauty company, they'll usually have like product development team.
Yeah.
The brand marketing team will tell product development team, like, we want a lip gloss and we want it to be, I'm just going to be basic about it, but like, we want it super glossy. We want it clear. Yeah. We want it to like make something
Here's
innovative.
Here's the desired effect we're trying to achieve.
Exactly. Then product development will get to work. They'll like work with the, like, whatever they do. And this was interesting because I was working directly with a manufacturer and the science house. Is it science house? I don't even know. I should probably know what they're called. I don't know. The product chemist.
Sure.
I'm going to call them that. But I worked with them and it was really fun. Like, we sat down, we looked at certain things that they had in their vault that it wasn't really meant to be an anti-thigh chafing stick, obviously, but it was like, oh, we have this to help moisturize certain parts that people get like crack feet, crack ankle, crack knee. And I was like, oh my God, people have this? Like, what? Yeah. Crack knee? What does that mean? So we, like, that was nice because that my like investigatory beginning, like, had them also question, like, here's what we have and this is what other people have come in for. Let's start there. And then it was like, okay, but these are key ingredients that I know I would like to try. And I remember the first one I got and I was like, what in the world? It has everything I wanted, but I was like, this is not the right percentages. So we walked through about like, all right, Sabrina, what was wrong with it? Like, why didn't you like it? And I was like, okay, well, when I walked, it felt like my thighs were going like, I was just slipping and sliding. I was like, what is happening here? I was like, I want it like less slippery, slidey. Like, I didn't know these like scientific terms to use with them. I just was like, this is the description that I would like to avoid. This is the description I would like to attain. So we went back and forth. We got a few samples. I definitely paid a deposit before any of those samples came. So that's another thing too, depending on what manufacturer you work with. And product chemist. And we had three iterations and six samples of those three iterations. I utilized one of each sample and then I sent to different groups of people all of those other ones.
You use the same group of people for each?
Like, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I wanted a little bit wider range, but I only had limited samples. So I had like a specific questionnaire that I asked them and I got feedback on it. And then I looked at how I also felt with it. And one formula like outstandingly like just like met everyone's needs. So it was exciting to be like, okay. And then I made one more tweak after anyway, like a year later. I was like, you know what? I don't like this one thing. Can we like look at changing it potentially? We did it. I had it. I went out of the country. I was using it. I had like another couple of samples. I sent the same sample to the same group. Like, I think I selected maybe like four people. That last round was four people. So that was a little risky, but we loved it. People literally, like, two of the four are still like, I have this product and I use it and I love it.
Like, oh, it's in the like, it made it to the rotation.
They were like, I love this.
Yeah.
But yes, so that's kind of like the process is like going back and forth, trying to figure out the questioning of like, what were you looking to make and why do you need potential different points to meet?
And I am curious about like your design. Like,
oh, also you can open that.
I'm going to open this right now.
You can open that. I use this for the photo shoot. So I had like a couple of samples. Also, look at the attention to detail. You didn't even see that top right here.
Oh, So it has a thigh bomb on the side and
And that's my graphic designer's handwriting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, and the end letter like goes into the next the next panel that folds over. I love this container.
How cute is it?
Yeah. Can I open it?
Yeah. No, this is literally what we used on the photo shoot. It's not like your sample tee. You're just welcome to open it.
Yeah. So it's like a...
And play with it and touch it and feel it if you...
Yeah. Like. It's like a circular like tube container. And then you open it up, it almost looks like a deodorant roll.
Mm-hmm.
And let me smell. I don't really smell anything.
No, you shouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
We put like the... So I didn't do like fragrance, but I did... It was like 0.00 something percentage of like vanilla to even out.
Yeah. Like I smell like I would notice if I close my eyes that somebody put something in front of my face.
Yeah.
But like it's... Yeah, now that you say in vanilla, I can smell like very slightly vanilla, mm-hmm. but it's not... Like I'm putting my nose like right in front of it and like sniffing and I can barely smell it.
Mm-hmm. And we did it to make sure that the original formula without the... I think that was the second thing, that one of the two things that changed at the end, because it just smelled too formula-ish. Mm. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like, what is this? Like,
yeah,
I want something in it.
It doesn't smell like straight vanilla.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
No, it's like the smallest percentage to literally just even balance.
Yeah, that, and it smells somehow like very like organic-y kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Not in like a... I'm smelling nature, but like it just smells like, I don't know, something, I don't know, something that I would like comes from nature and is clean and like feels mm-hmm. like good to be around. And then it's like all one color, the tube. It's this muted, what would you call this color?
Like muted taupe color.
Muted taupe. And the box is like a matching taupe color.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had somebody design the box and the packaging?
Yes. So I worked with Molly Fritz. She's literally so amazing. I'm obsessed with her.
How did you find her?
So we both went to the school of design at the University of Minnesota.
Oh, so this is somebody who you just like knew is in your Rolodex.
Yeah. So we've stayed in touch for a few years and she was like a grade younger than me. And she was freelancing and had just independently opened like a business up at the time.
Oh.
And I was like, I'd like to hire you.
Yeah.
I'm working on XYZ. And I've utilized her for like different, when I was like doing blogging for like 3 months before COVID hit. And I thought I was going to start doing YouTube. Oh God, COVID is a mess.
You're a repeat business for her.
Oh yeah, for sure. We just worked together to finalize my brand book because I was like, it doesn't make sense for me to work with anyone else because now she has a full-time job she's back in corporate America and here and there freelancing. So I was just like, listen, like it literally doesn't make sense for me to work with anyone else. Like, you know my brand.
Yeah.
I've worked with you for 3 years. Over the course of 3 years, like I'd love to kind of like consolidate everything together. So that was nice. But we worked on it together. I kind of gave her some like inspiration of brands that I liked, mm-hmm. the style I liked. We created the font, the typography on this, the thigh bomb with like her handwriting was super cool.
She made the font on here? Or is
she made, I want to say like one other font that's part of the brand guideline.
Okay.
In the brand book, and then we went through different iterations, and we selected this one.
Yeah, it's got a very, like, classy feel to it. Like, I really, I would love to have something, like, just, like, I have a girlfriend, and I'm very happy with her, and if I were a single guy, I'd be like, this feels like something my date would be like, oh, like, impressive, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And funny enough, this is probably going to be changing in terms of the font for it. But I think with entrepreneurship, it's like you live and learn. Like,
yeah,
it's just, I noticed during the photography, like it's just hard to see.
Mm.
And I needed something that's a little bit more bold.
Yeah.
And we selected each color. Like she went out during COVID, like mid COVID on the train for me to go pick out swatches. Like we were testing swatches, getting samples. We were Zooming each other. Yeah. Like, it was
shout
insane.
Out Molly. Wow.
Yeah. Shout out to her. She's brilliant. Yeah.
Okay.
She's brilliant.
Can see like, it looks really good in hand. And I'm thinking about like the top problems.
Like
that
you're when it's on
about.
The shelf, when it's further away, when you're trying to make a picture
like,
of it.
The lettering is like this shiny material that's like, reflective.
Mm-hmm.
And then like it looks great in hand, but like it looks like if you're not really paying close attention to it, you might
it disappears
a little bit.
Yeah.
From like a capturing picture standpoint, like you were saying, like you'd have to do your lighting would have to be on point to make sure that it's not just like being lost. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's definitely something that I know, like, for my next production run that I'm definitely going to edit a little bit out of.
Yeah.
But that's great.
Yeah. How did she come up with, like, the pack, like, the design of the container itself?
Oh, she didn't. So she does the graphics. So anything graphic is her. Anything actual, like, the carton shape or the component shape, the tube itself, that I saw, funny enough, I was using an item during 2020.
Oh, like, you saw somebody using, or you saw, like, another business using this?
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, I love this shape.
Yeah.
So then I went on Google. I started looking up vendors. I started cold calling some vendors and sending them emails of, like, the screenshots of that. And they were like, oh, we literally make that. And I was like, get out of here. Is that not, like, the wildest thing ever?
Were you trying to find them? Or
no, just, like... I just was trying to find someone that would make something like that. And they were like, oh, we make this. And I was like, huh? Like, yeah, we can send you samples tomorrow, like, of, like, your color swatch that you want. I was like, get out of here.
Wow.
Yeah. The, okay, like, so, entrepreneur gods are on my side.
Yeah. So, like, the nerd in me who's, like, really interested in just, like, how things work is just, like, wants to know more. Like, when you were cold calling them, like, what were you looking, like, were you, how did you start? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would tell,
like,
them a little.
Were you looking for somebody specific or, like, a specific job title, or, like, how did you even, like?
No, I looked at businesses.
Okay.
So when I, like, I would look at component, like, I Googled, like, this is, like, 3 years ago. It was Googling, like, component production or component something. Like, I always used the word component to see, like, and then if I'd see, like, tubes and shampoo bottles and hairspray cans and whatever, then I'd be like, jackpot, like, these are the type of, like, businesses that I'm looking for.
I'm, like,
for.
In the right vein.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So then I'd get the contact information. I'd send an email with, like, a picture, what I'm looking for, introduce myself. Some people would be like, oh, unfortunately, we don't work with this. We just work with, like, liquid stuff. Like, we don't work with anything hard. Like, okay, got it. Some people would say, we can definitely make this. It would be a new mold, which means $100,000. And I'm like, ah, I can't do that. and then the one that I found was like, oh, we make this. Like, great. Yeah.
Yes. So just quick sidebar. Like, that's why 3D printing, like, got so big, was because, like, prototyping in the past, like, they'd even have to, like, carve it out of, like, wood or clay or something. If they wanted to, like, actually make a model of it, like, not, like, through mass production.
Yeah.
Like, the other option would be, like, making the mold that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if there was, like, a tiny thing wrong with it, that's $100,000 completely down the drain. So for, like, a small business, these are, like, that alone is a huge barrier.
Yeah.
And so with 3D printing, it became a lot cheaper to, like, prototype very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think the intention of 3D printing was to, like, run your business entirely from using 3D printing.
Yeah.
But, like, there are businesses that do that. Like, the technology has come, like, far enough along that it is at least feasible for some businesses to use 3D printing as, like, their production point.
Yeah. And I love that this company, I was, like, trying to understand. I went back and forth, like, what does eco-friendly mean to me? How do I want to show up eco-friendly in an authentic way? Like, do I care about being eco-friendly? We don't compost. To be honest, I still don't understand it. Like, I don't understand, like, what you can you know what I mean? I'm like, is it the food? Can I do tea? Can I do it onto the bag? I don't get it.
The rules depend slightly on where you are, but, like, if you're gonna, like, pretty much all organics are compostable.
More organics, okay.
Food is compostable, meat is compostable, bones.
Meat is? If I had, like, chicken?
That's where, like, the rule, like, where you are and what rules you're using come into play a little bit.
Uh-huh. Is it by state, or where do you mean by where you are?
It's, like, depends on the state body or whatever that's doing your composting. Okay. Like, the problem isn't, like, that meat isn't compostable. The problem is that, like, it tends to draw animals and, you know, vermin, and can be a little smelly. So if you're doing composting in, like, your backyard, if you're okay with potentially, like, animals coming and being interested in your compost, like, cool, you can compost meat.
Oh my God.
And bones and stuff. But if you're not as into that, like, don't do it. In Minneapolis, where I live, they offer composting. And it's, like, industrial composting, so you can put like anything that's compostable in there.
And animals won't smell. It's a good.
I mean, if you, I guess, or... if you leave it in your plastic bin outside for a really long time or not well covered, like they'll get into it. But
yeah. But that was something that I asked myself. I was like, what does that mean? So as I was trying to answer that for myself, ironically, when I found that manufacturer, and they, I found them before I found my carton, they were like, yeah, we use, one of their selling pitches to me was like, we use hydroelectric energy to make in-house in the U.S. our products, and we can help partner with you to look at shipping the product to your formula manufacturer, either through truck or through like a train.
Yeah.
So you're not utilizing like fuels in for like planes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I like the idea of that. Like, that's kind of cool. And that's my way of showing up from like a eco-friendly way, is like not just like fluff saying it, but also like, hey, like this is what I was able to do.
Yeah.
And that was really like, I found a cool partner.
Yeah.
And then that kind of sparked the ball with like, okay, well, what can I do with like my cartons? Like, what can I do here? So then I decided to work with a partner in the Midwest, not in Minnesota, but in the Midwest. And they have post-recycled paper. Mine is FSC certified. You can track up to like what tree was cut down for it.
Oh, wow.
So I was just like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I like that idea. I have never checked what tree my carton in the past has come from, but I'm sure there's consumers that do that. So like, I hope that I feel, I like am able to give them some peace of mind.
Yeah.
And I also have my own personal peace of mind of like, I'm doing us like not a disservice to my like my future customers by buying my product. So that's like, it just internally feels good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be like, we're so eco-friendly, we're the best.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there yet.
I see, like, you're not doing, like, it's not, like, in my face about being eco-friendly.
Yeah. It's just that I'm taking my steps that I can for a small business to be that.
Yeah. So, the manufacturer of the, like, the product itself, they have, like, multiple inputs. And then you have, like, the case for the product or the packaging.
The component.
The component.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the...
the carton.
The carton.
Mm-hmm. So the carton got shipped to the formula house, the formula chemist.
Mm-hmm.
The component got shipped from the East Coast to the formula house. And the formula house is able to open it up, put the formula, close it up, put, open up the box, put it in the box, close the box, put it in a shipper for me. And shipper is like a big box that holds them all.
Yeah. Did you know like all this or... beforehand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I did because I worked cross-functionally with the team members that managed it. So I worked with product packaging. I worked with our operations team. I worked with product development because my background is obviously like international. So with international teams, you're kind of not only like an account manager, but you're like a retail manager for them. You're a trade manager. You're partner, you're like the middleman. Like, I like to refer to myself as like the brand middleman when you're working with your internal brand teams when it has to come, when it has to do with international.
Yeah. Okay. So it's pretty common, this kind of setup where the, the formula house is like doing all the packaging and
Yeah. And they factor that into their pricing as well.
Okay. And then where, in terms of distribution, like where are you having them ship it to?
Like where it's going to be shipping it out of.
Yeah.
So this is going to be kept at, unfortunately, we're not big enough to be at a 3PL. Yeah. Maybe what's next 3PL year. It's a larger logistical site that allows you to have inbounding, shipping out, and then they process your orders as well.
Yeah.
So that to me is like, oh, that's like my next goal.
Yeah.
Like if I can get to that size,
yeah,
I will literally cry like of happiness.
Yeah.
Cry happy tears. So for right now, it is going to be myself shipping out products and also one other team member that I am bringing on in July. And this will be out of a co-working space in the outskirts of Minneapolis.
Okay. In a co-working space.
Yeah. And it's... is it called a co-working space? I need to remember the name. How do they...
probably, do they call it? I don't know.
but they have like different companies. It's WeWork style, but instead of like WeWork for like offices and you sit down, it's like warehouses. Like you put your stock.
Oh.
So different retail, like different brands put their stock in it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They just opened up. They did like this whole Series A or B funding and they got like $20 million, I want to say.
Oh, like this is new business.
Yeah, this it's like it's their business and they've been like expanding rapidly. They're like in Austin and Texas. Oh. And like I don't know why this is embarrassing. We need to cut this out. I need to remember what they're called. This is bad. What are they called?
You're doing free promotion for them. I don't feel
I really am. I don't even want to talk about them anymore. Just kidding. Look at me.
For free?
For free 99? Who am I? Okay, I'll find it. And I'll bring it to the next meeting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I have it at a distribution site, I guess is what I would call it, sure. Where I'll be manually picking and packing myself.
Yeah. Do they allow you to like do other like work there or is it supposed to be specifically just for that?
I mean, as long as I'm in my little unit of the warehouse, mm-hmm. like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
People like put their like a desk, I can have like my large like products in like a racks.
Yeah.
And then I can have a desk area too.
Okay.
And then a little pick and pack station.
Yeah. And then you've got like the packing boxes and stuff and
I have the packing boxes picked out. I do not have the packing boxes. They will be arriving when I'm out of the country. So that's another thing where I'm like, oh my God. Uh-huh. There's still like two pending things that I don't think I'll get my hands on before I leave out of the country. But they'll be here when I'm back, so.
Got it. This is like so interesting to me being able to talk about like the nitty gritty specific details and how you handle them. Because I guess like for me, I'm coming at this from a partly like, I feel like I get paralyzed with like decisions a lot. And I think like at the end of the day, a lot of the times it's just like either like you just have to like figure out a way to move forward and make a decision and live with some of the consequences and hope that they aren't too bad.
Yep. Nope. I think I had like talked similar to that lot, like had similar sentiments because last time when we talked, I was like, I just like did too much 2 years ago. Like I did way too much. I spent way too much money. I did it like just thinking like 5-10 years, how is this going to affect my decision? Going to affect that? Yeah. What's going to happen? And I was like, Sabrina, you need to chill. I need to take one step at a time. Yeah. Like literally take one step at a time right now. The biggest thing was like, what did you create? You created an amazing product. It works really well. You truly believe in the formulation. How can you not bring it to market? Like you've done this for other brands. Like you can do this. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That I didn't realize like there was so much overlap from like your like corporate job to like bringing this to life.
Yeah, it's been interesting like implementing this because I also need to make sure I'm very clear that I utilize my resources and my network. Like I called up friends and I was like, hey, like I'm having this issue with this and I'm not understanding. Can you help explain this to me? And they explained that to me. Mm-hmm. I utilize friends that worked in product development. Like I want to like replace this ingredient with this. Like, do you see any issues? And if I want to talk about it because of this viewpoint. But they were so instrumental in like this, my child coming.
Yeah.
So like that was just utilizing my network was very, very helpful.
Yeah. One thing we also talked about in the prior episode was like at the time you were not working, you were able to invest all of your time and energy into it. Mm-hmm. And in some ways it like made things a lot easier because you didn't have to worry about pleasing your boss. You didn't have to worry about like your full-time job deadlines. But also like it opens the door for just like constantly working and like not shutting it down. When you're the only employee and the founder, like everything falls on you.
Yeah.
Everything is decided by you. Everything, all the work is done by you. What was that like? Like how did you shut it down at night or did you not just like
oh my God, I didn't. I did not. My partner, I think we were laughing about this a couple weeks ago and someone was mentioning like, oh, like what do you do in your free time? And he just brought up a comment of like, what free time does she have? She literally doesn't have free. I think he brought up like Sabrina is always busy. Like it was Aaron. I'm pretty sure it was Aaron. Aaron's like, oh, like how's it going? Like
how are you? And he was like, yeah, I'm good. So we're just always busy. So I'm like, even being like jobless, somehow I figured out a way to literally not be like just chilling.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, that mentality, right?
Because I feel like you're very busy between starting a business and like you still are in school for esthetician stuff, and that's taking up a lot of time.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're sitting at home playing video games and I can't talk right now. This streamer that I'm really invested in is about to start streaming right now. You know, it wasn't like that. It's like,
no, I kept myself busy even without a job. It was like taking these like lessons and expanding on like my knowledge of skincare and like going to that and really focusing on Tumizi and building that up and seeing like what I could do in the second half of the year.
Did you at any point feel like this was too much, or that you were like,
oh my God, when I wrote that fat check to pick up my shit. I was like, this is too much. This is too much. I was hiring. I love the fact that I was able to use my network. I love the fact that I was able to be connected to such cool people, from my photographer, the graphic designer, my social strategist that was working in tandem with me to like build out this launch plan. My website creator, it's just like, holy crepazoid. And I decided, I want to say maybe 3 months ago, I want to say like after our conversation, like a month after, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go for more funding. Like, I'm not going to request like a business loan. I'm not going to request like anything. I'm just going to
bootstrap.
I'm going to put the money where the idea is, and we're going to see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I believe in myself, and I believe in Tumizi, and I believe in the thigh bomb. Yeah. So let's just like invest in it from my own funds.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. So it was just,
that's probably wise, because the product's not going to fail because like the type font was like a tiny bit too. Like, you need to let the product stand for itself and fend for itself. And like, delaying that launch, like, some circumstances would be helpful, but like, you can always come up with a reason to delay lunch.
Yeah.
Right. And like, just have that be a money sink for you.
Yeah.
And especially if it's not generating revenue yet.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like getting a loan is like pretty risky strategy.
Yeah.
Especially if it's starting to generate revenue and you have like, you have a clear, this is my bottleneck right now,
mm-hmm.
and some extra funds would help me address this bottleneck that would come with my growth. Like, that's a lot more like appealing place to be in, rather than like, I need more money to launch. I have it, but like, it could be better this way. And it's like, ooh, better. Like, what?
Yeah.
that's a dangerous word sometimes.
Yeah. It's exciting to see like what could happen in the next 3 months. Like, this, it's just so wild. Like, I've hyper focused on, here's the next 3 months, here's the first 3 months of launch, these are the things that you need to hit, here's how I'm building a team around that, and everyone's kind of aware of it.
What are the like parts of your launch, or like what's coming next for you?
So on social, and you can find us at tumizi.co. So at Tumizi, tumizi.co. That is our official Instagram channel. We are going to go live with our first post. I will be tagging it and talking about it on June 21st, so the official day of the summer solstice.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought that would be kind of like a fun time, especially like every single delay. I was like, you know what? We're going to pivot for the 20th damn time, but it's okay. We're going to pivot to this. And you know what? Look at that. That's great. Like, the fact that I got to pivot so many times to now it being like the first day of like summer.
Yeah.
That's great. What's not great is that's also the day I leave the country. So I just don't like the idea of not being here when my first orders come in.
Yeah.
So we are doing a 2-week social launch. And then on July 5th, 2 weeks later, is when my website will be going live. So you can, it's a shoppable site. You'll be able to go in there, make your purchase. You'll be able to sign up for email mailers, and so forth.
Is there going to be like a in-person like launch party or no?
As of right now, there is something in the works that
I asked that because I know the kind of person you are.
Hopefully, knock on all the wood. I will be able to share more on that the next time we chat after launch.
Okay.
So for right now, there is something in the works. I cannot confirm it as far as like where, when, what it is.
Sure.
Just because it's, you know, there's like exciting things happening in the background. I don't want to ruin it.
I'm so excited to hear about this. I'm really excited for like launch and yeah, I'm just really excited for you right now. Even up to here, there's been so much like learning and growth for you. And
you're telling me.
What's been like a big lesson for you? Or maybe I could be more specific. Like, how did you like come to terms with the fact that you were going to have to push out your planned launch date several times?
Well, to answer the first format that you just asked, I had to come to terms in terms of like thinking about like the way that I, what's the right answer? What's what I'm trying to communicate right now? I had to teach myself and really learn that I need to think things through longer than I think that I need to think things through. Like I was giving myself like 48 to 72 hours to like think on a decision. And that's so insane to me. That wasn't enough. Like, I would have really cool ideas maybe like 4 days down the line. I would have really cool ideas maybe a week or two.
Yeah. What kinds of like decisions were these?
So the color on something that I know is going to be affected by the next run is like the color of the logo and the name on here. That's something that it doesn't annoy me. I'm not disappointed in it. I love it. I'm proud of it. However, the next iteration is going to be a little bit more bold in a different to go with this like light taupe.
Yeah.
You know? And if I just sat down and not felt pressured about it, I would have been able to be like, you know what? I think I'm going to keep looking and give myself time because I just felt like, oh my God, I have to get on this. I need to like do.
Yeah.
And now it's like, Sabrina, look at you. Look at you. another thing was like the final brand name in terms of the website.
Mm-hmm.
And so the incorrect one is currently on the carton that's right in front of you because this doesn't say the right one. So now I am paying that price. Literally.
Oh, like it's just sunk cost. Like,
yeah. So I'm now putting a sticker. I need to pay for stickers to put on here because I'm not getting rid of this. This is
right.
Okay. There's no way I'm getting rid of those. So that's another thing that you like, if I had just sat down and thought through, like, don't feel rushed. Think about the artwork. Look at like the small details that I just didn't think about, you know?
Yeah.
Or I didn't think about I didn't think thoroughly.
Yeah.
Or sit with it. That would have been really cool.
Yeah.
If I had done that, I feel like it definitely would have changed my mind a little bit more. But yeah, I think to answer that first part, it was definitely like, take more time.
Yeah.
The lesson I've learned is like, take more time than you think. And that's what I've loved about the last couple of months is like, I remember booking my photo shoot like a year and a half ago. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing, Sabrina?
Yeah. Photo shoot for a product.
No, didn't even like, exist. Yeah. Which is why I was like, I had a timeline and I was trying to beat the timeline. And I'm like, no more of that for me right now. That's not to say that that's maybe not the way I'm going to function later, but like, that's not where my business needs me to be right now.
Right.
My business.
It's like, yeah, that's part of why I was like, I'm so curious about these like launching problems and things. Cause it's like, yeah, right now, it doesn't make sense to be in that mindset, but like these 2 to 3, 5 year further along into the business, like you are going to have a more process that like is important for you to have. You can't be, you know, having a business launching a new product and then somebody
you saw me.
You can't have a product.
I did it twice. Sorry.
You can't have a product like delayed by 6 months because somebody forgot to book the photo shoot make the quantities of the packaging, right?
Yeah.
So when you know the ropes, you can like plan around things. You can you can have this process, you can have this checklist, and it'll be growing and you'll be removing things and adding things. But it's a lot more like predictable.
Exactly.
But like when you're doing something for the new time, it's first time. like, you don't know anything. Like, you have to figure it out. You have to like, get your hands dirty and make these mistakes. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it's so painful making these mistakes. Like, ooh, like this packaging thing, like, I know it caught, it was just like a, like, I hit your
not eyes. Only like financially painful, it was also like, are you kidding me?
Something? Yeah, yeah, it's like obviously that's something I should check for. Yeah, but like at the time you're like, you're trying to get your product launched, and it's like a balance of like, how can I get this to market as fast as I can and have it like, have the market decide if this is something that we should spend more time on, or like, you know, is this like, or, and just like trying to get this just right. Yeah. Right. And it's so, such a big balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crucial.
It's
because you don't so want to delay the launch. You want to get it out. But also, like, these mistakes are kind of a big deal sometimes.
They are. Yeah. Like that, if I hadn't like put some form of buffer for myself, honestly, it could have potentially moved me out another summer, another year, mm-hmm, because I'm not working. So that could have like screwed me over.
Yeah.
But again, like, I'm so grateful and thankful that, like, I have this opportunity to be set up that, like, all right, this is the year. This is when it's happening. Like, let's do it.
Yeah. I would like to ask you, like, how, like, family support has been and, like, the support from friends and what that's looked like.
Yeah, I think my family and my friends are kind of probably at the state of, all right, we've been hearing about it for 3 years. When is she coming out? But I definitely feel like when I first told the idea to my family and friends, they were super excited about it. They have also like given me ideas on like where to sell, places, mm-hmm, that they shop and frequent, and like seeing, I don't want to say venues, but like other business partner, like partnership places that would make sense for me to sell to Meezy. And these are friends, I'm talking about friends like in New York, in Miami, mm-hmm, in Chicago, in LA. So it's really exciting to see that they're like, oh my God, I shop here all the time and I feel like your brand should be in here. Like, look at this. This is perfect. And I'm like, get out of here. Huh. I was going to a salon / like beauty bar a couple weeks ago and they had a product for chafing, but it was like a powder, and it had this cute little packaging, but I went to like use their tester. They had like a little tester thing, tried on the back of my hand, and it like exploded. I was like, what is this? And she's like, the team member was like, oh, I'm so sorry, that like happens a lot. It's kind of an issue with this product. And I was like, well, let me tell you about my product. So I'm really looking forward to being able to get the photo shoot images back. We did the photo shoot, now it's been a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And we have like insert cards that are on the way. And that gives me the opportunity to walk into Minnesota brands and really, or retailers, small indie shops, and be like, hey, my name is Sabrina, I'm the founder. I'd love to potentially check, like, have you sell one case pack of my product this summer, see what you think. Even if it means like figuring out a negotiation for the summer, mm-hmm, like what does that mean for the first shipper that you buy from me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the case pack. So yeah.
So I feel like you've been getting a lot of support from like the people around you. And I feel like,
yeah,
I'm like so happy for you that.
Thank you. My partner's probably like sick and tired. Like, love him, but he's probably like, this girl, like, I want this product to launch and you'd have a full team so I can have my girlfriend back and like not all the time be thinking about Tumizi. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
I feel like you're going to have to think about this a lot. Like,
all the time.
I think the best Charlton will get is like that you have an assistant.
I've never said his name.
I can edit that out. I feel like the best your partner is going to get is like that you're going to have an assistant.
Exactly. Like, I'll be late for dinner again. That's going to be the best
compromise. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, yes. Not even no. Yes. But no, everyone's been super like very excited. Like, anytime I can talk about Tumizi, I talk about it. And yeah, not in like a, let me sell you this product, but just really kind of like, here's the problem that I had. Here's how I built it. And I loved it. And I think you will too. Can't wait for you to try it. Or here, try it. Let me know what you think.
Yeah. So it's June right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of the college kids have graduated and are starting their like first real grown up job.
Yeah.
What?
That's like post
Fourth of July, though, isn't it for them?
I don't know.
Don't they give them like Fourth of July?
Maybe. Through them? I don't know. By the time I release this, it'll probably be in July.
Oh, hello, future us.
Yeah. Like, what, when you started working in, like, corporate and everything, mm-hmm. what was that adjustment like for you? Because in college, you're like, you have so much free time. You can schedule your day however you feel like it around your classes that you should go to. And then, like, corporate life. You clock in, you don't necessarily clock in terms of like you're hourly, but like you have, your boss knows you're supposed to be there at a certain time.
Yeah.
They are going to be watching you if you're not there. You have to leave by a certain time, or like your day officially ends at a certain time. But depending on your job, you might be staying around for hours more depending.
Yeah.
Like what... It was super difficult for me, and I imagine that transition is going to be difficult for a lot of the college grads now. What was that like for you?
Oh my God, it was horrible. My last internship was, I wish I could go back in time and like be different. Do I think I would be? No. But I wish like I could go back in time and be different. It was, yeah.
What were the mistakes you were making?
I'm pretty sure in my review when I left, the one thing I was successful at was like interacting with cross-functional team members. Like that's what she gave me, my manager. Talking to other people and like building relationships with other people for things that I needed. Like I negotiated things really well with internal partners versus other interns for sure. So like I was hitting high ranks of that, which is like my personality type, got it.
Yeah.
When it came to being efficient with their time, I was not. When it came to like being on time, I was not. And I think part of that too is like, I mean, it was New York City. It was my last internship that I had. It was New York City. It was my first time in the city. That train system is a devil.
You were living the New York early life for sure.
That commute was a devil for someone that like went from Minnesota driving. Yeah, we have our traffic here. Yeah. Nothing like New York. Like they were packed like sardines on that train. Like I would have panic attacks. Like I'm not even kidding. Like I would have panic attacks on the train and get off the train. I could not breathe. Imagine being this close to someone's back.
Yeah.
I couldn't breathe. I could not breathe. I'd have to like get out of the train, you know? And it wasn't to the point where I'd be like, oh my God, something's wrong. But it was just like, holy shit, like I'm not getting to work on time and I don't give a shit because I can't breathe in there. Like, no. So I think for advice as far as like, you know, the incoming interns or newly full-time employed students.
The new hires.
The new hires transitioning from college is like, you need to set some time for yourself for like self-care. It's so important. And don't get me wrong, it was amazing living this like life as a new grad in New York City. And I would go out like from Wednesday through Sunday night.
Yeah.
Right. And it was like that plus trying to have a social life plus trying to like work at my job plus trying to like meet the needs and expectations of being that like quote unquote successful daughter or successful sister that like lives out in New York. That's a lot of pressure. And I feel like if I had built myself a really stable like self-care routine, morning routine, night routine, it would have saved me so much. Just like,
And
so much.
Yeah. And for my experience, like, so I know self-care gets thrown around a lot these days, but it is like you're going to encounter problems that you have never encountered as a student.
Mm-hmm.
Like my first job, our desk, like we did not have sit-stand desks. So, so like sitting for 9 hours, 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, like your body is not going to be happy with that.
Mm-mm.
And there's a part of you're like even typing on a computer for 8 hours a day, like your wrists are going to feel not very good. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to figure out how to like work at your computer in a sustainable way, which is also why I got into keyboards, like ergonomic keyboards, because I was like I cannot sustain this for 40 years if this is how my wrists feel after 3 months at this job. Your body, your back is going to probably start hurting. Your butt might start hurting.
Oh my God, yes!
All these things that are like they are happening because of this office job that you have now.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to like self-care around that. Like if you're lucky, you're office will have like sit stand desks, and you should stand as utilize much as you can.
Utilize that for sure.
You should take like stretch breaks so that whatever part of you tends to get stiff, like for me, it's my hips, like trying to like work at that and not just like, oh, like my I'll just like do it when my workout later.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes like, if you're lucky, you get to work out. But also, if you're living it up, which you can now because you're fully out of college, you might not be quite as diligent with your gym life and everything.
Do you remember yourself when you were, because we're around the same age, when we were first starting to enter like the corporate work life? I remember looking at, like, there were maybe one or two people that had a standing desk for sure. Like, I remember seeing them and I was like, oh my God, what a hippie. Oh my God, I'm such an, I can't.
They're so popular now. They've come down in price. Oh, there's so much more, like.
Like $2.99.
Yeah.
That is so great. They used to be like $3,000
plus. Oh my God, they were so expensive.
I literally used to think it was just hippies that used to do that in the office. And it was always the creative lead and then some other random person. I'm not even kidding. So I'd be like, oh my God, what is this with a standing desk? That's weird.
I love them.
Yeah.
You can get it to like just the right height if you have like an adjust, like an electronic adjustable one. And so like standing itself isn't too bad, but like standing with your like arms suspended, like in the air, like that puts like pressure on your back. So you need to get it like just right so you can rest like your forearms a little on it, take that pressure off your back. Like,
you just know it.
When you get the desk to just the right height, it's perfect.
Oh my God. But the biggest, like, also.
It's thing, so nerdy, but it's like, oh, like it's so these are things that are important to your sustainable, like, work life. Like,
And shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember, oh my God, I wore heels every day on the train. Like, I think it was maybe my last year where I did, like, I would just put on tennis shoes. Or sneakers, whatever they call it, outside of the Midwest, and then change to heels at the office. I always get called on, like, when is tennis shoes? I'm like, get out of here.
You're like a rich white woman. Like, where did you learn that?
We all stayed in the Midwest. Tennis shoes. They say sneakers. I'm like, no, we don't learn that here.
I grew up on the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm like, no, it's tennis shoes. Tennis shoes.
Sneakers.
I hate you. But no, like, just being smart about that too, like my commute, like I make myself comfortable, like be comfortable. You can also be comfortable and cute. But that is one thing that I do respect and admire about this new generation too, is that you can see a shift in millennials, but that shift's already been there with Gen Z. Yeah. So no, they have their own little wild.
Gen Z smart. They know what's up.
Yeah. And then the one thing like for the newcomers into corporate world that they need to be ready for is like requesting. I want to repeat that. Requesting time off.
Yeah.
I hated that before COVID. Like now it's like, oh, you can kind of like work remote, you know, there's a little bit more flexibility if you need to be out of the office for a week or two and just trying to tack on working from home, aka when you're like traveling and then just being on PTO. But that was like not a thing when like pre-COVID. Like a lot of people didn't have that flexibility.
Yeah.
You had to like,
I still don't really have it. I have to ask for it like weeks in advance.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I should. Yeah, use your PTO. Don't be like me.
Yeah. No, do not. Literally don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, because we've been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, since we're old. In our college days, I know that organization was like not your strongest suit.
Putting me on blast, Kai.
I could have said it much worse.
You could have, because you know the truth.
And like part of like doing your job well, regardless of how well you do individual parts of it, is like is being organized and not letting things slip through. Like you, just from like a work standpoint, like your manager asks you to do something, they don't want to follow up in a panic. Why didn't you do this?
Yeah,
like they want to be able to trust that. Oh, I asked Sabrina to do this thing for me. Maybe it's not done in the timeline that I want to do, but I want to make sure that she doesn't forget about it, or like she made a reasonable call on the timeliness of it. Get organized, or what did you do to
that? That was I give all the credit to Gina Antone. She is a previous manager of mine that I had while working at Becca Cosmetics. I would not be the level of organizer per se that I am, especially with like Too Easy and like where I think I really am from a corporate setting, if it wasn't for her. She really taught me
or it helped kind of accelerate that skill set and build that skill set.
Yeah. Because that was like, for me, I got me in a lot of trouble early in my work life.
Yeah.
I wasn't organized, or like I wasn't organized enough. And like a big problem for me was like, I would get these emails and I'd be like, I don't know what to do with it. So I'm just, what I did was just sat on it, which is one of the worst things you can do, if not the worst thing. And it took me a long time to like get to the point of being comfortable with like asking my manager, what is this? What am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah.
To being proactive with like addressing something you don't know. But like,
oh, but that makes me so mad because I'm like, we are interns at like intern level. If you're talking about that level versus like
intern
coming
level, I could like, I felt comfortable asking. But like once I got into like full time, I was like, it was a big weakness for me. And it took something, it was like something that took me a long, long time to like get better at. But yeah, like organization, like what did you do in terms of like getting organized? Or what did your manager like help you with?
I mean, it was an issue for me because I would have all these things and I'm like, panic. Yeah. Which one, what do I prioritize first? What do I do? And then it's like, I would get an email like, hey, Sabrina, I need this, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, and I would respond back like, hello, I have this, and I was going to do this and then that, and maybe I can do this. And it was like, no. Now it's like, if I got that same email, like, hey, I need you to pull a report on something metrics.
Yeah.
I'm like, sure, I can get it to you by 2 p.m. tomorrow. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
That's all that needed to be friggin' said. Yeah. You know what I mean? But that's not the way that, like, I honestly feel like internships do that, and it pisses me off. And internships are what the skill sets we build to go to corporate America. You know what I mean? So that's just, like, very frustrating because I feel, like, that was, like, you had to learn it the hard way.
Yeah, like, you had to – there's, like, this big gap between, like – you being a good student and like you being a good employee.
Yeah.
And like, oh my gosh. And like it goes down to the level of like organizing your inbox, what to prioritize, how to respond to them.
Yep.
Like you, what you were saying, like I can get
you
this
don't need
to
that
you.
Long-winded shit.
Yeah. I can get this to you by this date.
Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes like, I guess I'm a guy, I wouldn't even ask, does that work for you? I'd be like, just, I can get it to you at this date. It's on you to tell me if that doesn't work for you.
fair.
But it takes a level of like understanding the business, right? Or like, and like their priorities. Cause like, if you there's like a push and flow to like how things are, like certain reports are always done at this time. So like you can expect to doing that. But
yeah,
sometimes they don't tell you that like that's the push and flow of things. Yeah. Right?
Like you just, I honestly don't know. Maybe I'll like be hated on this sentence, but I think it's kind of like we all have to go through it. We all have to go through like the fuck ups, realistically, in corporate America.
Because sometimes you don't even know like what your
exactly. No, literally, exactly. I was like, you have to, like, you'd learn it. And it's not to say you have to learn the hard way. It's not, but like, you're not going to know if you don't know, right? Yeah.
My hope, I guess, for Gen Z would be like, hey, be proactive with like learning what your weaknesses are and addressing them. Because like at this day and age, like you have so many resources to address these problems that like you and I might not quite have had in our slightly earlier in social media days.
Oh my God. Another thing is, reduce that cockiness. I remember thinking that I needed to be promoted in like 6 months. I was like, I got X, Y, Z done. And I was like, so your job?
Yeah.
You got your job done? You want a promotion? I can only imagine if that was like the millennials of my time, what the Gen Zers of this time are like.
Mm.
Because like,
6 months, getting a promotion in 6 months is like very uncommon. Like you'd have to, the company would either have to be like desperate for new blood in leadership, which is kind of not a good thing.
Yeah.
You want your company to be somewhat stable, and like big changes are usually not a good sign. You'd have to be like crazy good at your job.
Yeah. And that, yeah, I think the cockiness is just kind of like, all right, like let's dwindle that down when you know that that's what's happening, right? Like when you're coming at it from like an ego perspective versus like a
6 months,
I want to develop
like,
and see where things go.
For me at this age and this point in my career, like 6 months is like with a job that's the company has known for a while, like the job position has been around for a while. 6 months is about the time where they understand the job.
Right? Yeah. I would say 3 to 6 for me, but yeah.
Maybe there are some like very simple like jobs out there where it's like 2 or 3 months, but like in the job, in all of my work experiences, like 6 months is about the time where you start understanding like about 90% of the things that happen that come across your way. There's still going to be like 5 to 10 that's just like, you're just going to have to experience on your own. There's no manual for that. There's no documentation for that, but.
And this is like entry, like beginning for sure is what I'm saying, because there has been a time where I started at a company and I was promoted in 6 months, but that was because like they realized quickly that the level of work that I was doing was not at the level that I was hired to do.
Yeah. It's an adjustment.
Yeah.
Big adjustment. But also growth is good. Sometimes it's a little messy.
Yeah.
Embarrassing. So embarrassing. Oh my God.
I remember I emailed my manager asked me for me to get from the brand marketing team some responses to reply back to our retailer in Asia. And I sent an email to, I think she was like an executive director or direct. She was around the same level as my manager at the time. Yeah. So I shot her an email because her team members are out of the country or out of the, like on PTO some shit.
Yeah.
And I sent her an email on like a Friday morning. And she didn't respond all day Friday, which fine, it's Friday, right? And it's summer on top of that. So we have summer. I think that was like a summer Friday day or something. Monday, I come in. I'm like, oh, I didn't respond back to the task that I was given. I'm going to go and follow up with the director. I was like, hello. Hi. How are you? Happy and a great weekend. I just want to follow up. She's like, yeah, I saw that you sent me on Friday. Like, I'm still working on the answer. I was like, And then I talked to my manager, like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to email her like that. I wasn't trying to like be weird. I just meant like I wanted to get that job done for you. She's like, it's okay. I think email etiquette is like if you email something on a Friday, give them until Tuesday.
Yeah. And who you're emailing.
Oh, the different level. Oh my God. Corporate like politics is so just gives me anxiety. Like I'm just sweating.
Yeah. Like I'm lucky that I work at like a fairly small company right now. And like it's not that difficult to like rub elbows with the CEO and stuff. But like these like bigger companies. Oh my God, even like just the director of your own division, who's like 7 levels above your direct manager, so stressful.
And then when you see them CC'd on something, it's like, not to like be in trouble, but just like they're CC'd like, oh, like look at this report, look at this finding. Yeah,
because they're supposed to be CC'd on, you're like, oh my God, like I have to be.
Yes, thank you so much.
And like, it's not stated, but like, it's never going to be stated in your job description, but like part of your job is to
know that
to like not get waste their time. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like an implied thing. Your manager does not want you to waste their time, like the CEO's time, you know.
I remember when I was a coordinator,
it's gonna look badly on them. It's gonna like they're like, just don't embarrass me, please.
Literally. I remember when I was a coordinator and I printed off some reports and we were gonna be in this big meeting and there was this like head dude, like not even part of our specific company, but the larger company. And he came in and I printed them for everyone. I think it was like 8 people and I was sitting on the sideline watching my manager do the presentation and his assistant or something came up to me and was like, these need to be larger for him. He can't see. So things like that, just knowing too is like, oh God, I messed up. So then I have to go near the printer. Of course, the printer's not working. Yeah. And I'm here in the meeting starting. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what is going on?
I can imagine this. Like, you're trying to like make the font bigger and then like all the formatting is all fucked up now.
Now I have to redo it.
Oh my God. Now they're like starting the meeting. You're like, I'm trying to like get this.
And they're presenting to him. So he doesn't have anything in front of him. And then he made the comment, oh, it's a little small, isn't it? And I was like, no.
Oh my God.
It's just like everyone just has to go through it. Like you really do.
Yeah.
Ugh, some of the embarrassing moments of things that I did as a coordinator. Like, oh my God. I want to like cringe. But honestly, I will never feel as cringe as when my last job, we were in a big meeting and we were all doing presentations based on your market segment. And we were presenting to our CEO and SFO. And some of the interns were there and some of the coordinators. And they sat at the head table while like directors were sitting like at the side chairs. Again, corporate politics. But I was looking at them like, girl, you better get your ass up and move back there right now.
My intern did not do that because she knew better. Yeah. I like warned her. I was like, just so you know, like if in case like people, a lot of people come show up for this presentation, like do not sit here, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people would think that that's like a bad thing. I just think it's like you're coming to present to high level executives, but you expect them to sit on the sidelines, like while you as like an intern first
you're presenting
year.
To them.
And so they're not the one presenting, right? Oh. It's like mid-level, senior level managers presenting. So like that would make sense why I think one of us even was sitting on the sideline presenting, but we're presenting to the leadership team.
Yeah.
You would think the leadership team and the presenters would be at the table.
Yeah.
And everyone else that's there to like join and look and like ask questions, et cetera. If there aren't enough seats at the table, like you're, God, that sounds bad. If there aren't enough seats at the table, you sit on the sideline.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't pull up your own chair. Like, sit on the sideline. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. This isn't that like analogy to pull up your own chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're okay. This isn't the right analogy. But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
I just like, it's just cringe moments. Like, we're all going to go through it. Everyone will go through it. But you learn from it. And like, whether or not you develop from that or come out on top is really going to depend on like the people around you and who's willing to kind of give you like the heads up of like just letting you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like having like a big brother, big sister in the corporate world goes far.
Yeah, so far.
I feel like that would have saved so much like heartache.
Yeah.
I think if you do have a figure like that in your life, like, be open with them. Go be open with like the problems that you're experiencing because like they probably know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's no, I don't, if you have a figure like that who's got your back, I don't think you should feel embarrassed about like, oh, like it's such like a dumb problem. Like they probably don't want to be bothered by it. Like just save yourself the trouble.
Yeah.
Your older corporate figure probably has probably done it themselves, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, they have.
Yeah.
They have, and they're trying to warn you against not doing it. That's the one thing that I will never be at disservice for like an intern or a coordinator under me is like, I will prep you. I will laugh with you about the dumb shit that I did.
Yeah, I
and
feel
went
like
through.
You'd be like a good mentor and like,
oh my God. I will never set up my someone that's training under me for nothing but success. Like you will be successful and I will teach you everything that I can because I appreciated what I've learned so far and like anything that I do continue gaining, I'm happy to share that because why not?
Yeah, I think we're of the same mindset. Like I don't want you, if I can spare you the lumps that I took from my learning, like I'm more than happy to do that. I don't want to have like the mindset of like, well, I took my lumps, so you should take yours. Like that's such.
No, that's bullshit.
That's such like poor energy. I don't want to put that out there.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand the purpose of doing that. Like, I remember my last intern turned coordinator outside of my team. Like, I fought for her to have more money when she was getting her first coordinator job than I made as my first 3 years as a coordinator. Like, and not once in my head was I like, oh, well, she should be making what I made when I was a coordinator. Like, no, she's making what makes sense for this time.
Yeah.
No, like, no, I need to make sure that I'm fighting for her to have the appropriate salary. Like, you cannot live off of what I was making like 7-8 years ago. Like, that's not realistic.
Yeah. Well, Sabrina, thank you for your time and sharing everything.
Of course.
New college grads, good luck in the workforce. It's rough.
Don't leave them with that guy.
Hopefully, the information we've shared with you will make it a little smoother and help you grow. And Sabrina, thank you for sharing all the things that you've experienced through putting Tomizi together. And I love this package and this component here. It's really feels really great in the hand. And I would love to hear more about the launch and all the things that you go through. Like this, this thing is so interesting, and I think it's hope it's helpful for like listeners out there. Because I think starting a business is really like empowering and really can like open up a lot of doors and learning for you. And also like having the right approach and mindset goes a long way in terms of like just sustaining and like moving that process along.
Yep.
And I really appreciate you sharing and being vulnerable with some of these like mistakes that have happened.
Oh, cringe.
It takes a lot. And I really appreciate that you're willing to share these things.
Yeah, I thank you for having me on, and what, like third time now, but the second talking about my business. Yeah. I will always talk about Tamizi, but yeah. I'm excited to at least like show you the progress that I've made.
Yeah.
Since last time we talked, which is crazy because I didn't even have that to show you.
No, you didn't. Yeah. I'm really excited. Thank you for coming again, Sabrina.
Thanks.
Thank you.